Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio in for Joe DeCamera alongside John Ritchie, James Seltzer. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up later in the show, don't forget, we will have the Times News line, 215-238-4500. Elliot Shore Park is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Doug Peterson just spoke on a Zoom call. From reading some of the quotes, we'll get the perspective from Elliot, but it sounds like Doug continues to feel good and say he feels good, which is great. I mean, that's the best news we've got all day, James.
Oh, easily, yeah. And it seems like, you know, energy's high, all that type of stuff. And, you hear the news last night, it comes out that he had contracted COVID, and your immediate thought is, oh, God, I just hope he's okay. It's great to hear that he's feeling so well.
It is. And you know what? As we debate, you know, who's the most indispensable person in the Eagles, Doug, Carson, the reality is we don't want them to lose anybody. We want all these guys to stay safe. But if they're going to play sports through this pandemic, they're going to play sports without a bubble like baseball is trying to do and football is trying to do, this is going to happen. And I hope the Eagles don't lose anyone. But, man, if they had to lose Doug for games, I'd be nervous they couldn't win those. I think they could win games without Carson Wentz, John Ritchie. As long as they had Doug Peterson. But I know you think Carson's the most indispensable here.
You think they could win games with Jalen Hurts
yep.
as their quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
They
may have to. I mean, just forget the virus
You're
for a
right.
second. I mean, if he wins the backup job and Carson just rolls his ankle for a week, I mean, most years in the last 20 years of Eagles history, we see the backup quarterback. They may have to try to win a game or two, pandemic aside, with Jalen Hurts. I think
right.
they could.
I don't, not yet. I know nothing about this young man except that they were very high on what he did in a virtual offseason. Man, he's behind by the normal standard for a second-round quarterback, just having been drafted. It's daunting. Daunting to think about everything he has to learn to be ready. Doug is an incredible game day decision maker. There's no question about it. I do question his aggressiveness at times over the last couple of years. I think that has waned since the departure of certain assistants that were once on this staff. I think the creativity has waned as well. I'm not going to say that Doug is not a great NFL coach. I think that Doug needs to show a lot this year to get my further endorsement that he is the guy who won the Super Bowl 3 years ago now.
It seems like you and I feel about Carson and Doug the opposite. Like, I need to continue to be sold on Carson.
Yeah,
you need
I am sold on Carson.
Yeah, and I'm sold on Doug.
I am sold on Carson. I don't know how you can be sold on Doug. We haven't seen the same Doug for a couple years now.
Boy, he hasn't had the same kind of team. Like I also like you have to have expectations. Like they didn't have a team last year that could go win a Super Bowl. I mean, they just didn't. Once we started, like by October, I realized.
Well, how does that work against Doug and not against Carson?
I never said
Carson's got umpteen passes dropped
without question. But I never
several that could have won games.
I've never sat here and said Carson Wentz was a failure last year because Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl. He didn't have enough around him. I mean, that was quite obvious. By October last year, I realized. They weren't going to win the Super Bowl. They just weren't a good enough team. They had so many injuries, all that.
Do you think the organization has more faith in? Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz?
Doug Peterson. They just drafted a quarterback in the second round.
I would have said, well, that's the thing. I would have said, no doubt about it. They have bought into Carson, and they will, you know, ride with him till the cows come home, and then they drafted Jalen Hurts.
I would have agreed with you. Before the draft, I would have said the answer
that
right
is
now
so
is
so confusing. I am so conflicted. That has to mean something in everyone's mind, no matter how big a Carson Wentz fan you are.
There's a flicker
of
doubt.
And I'm a big Carson Wentz fan.
There's a
yes.
flicker of doubt in the organization's mind. I mean, that's yes. otherwise you don't make that draft
pick.
That
has to be the case. You don't do this if it's not the case.
You don't. So, you, I mean, and you look at the history of the NFL.
Brings everything into question that I thought was real.
Well, I mean, what's real is what happens on Sundays, and they need Doug for that to happen. Let's talk to Dennis.
If what's real is what Doug has done on Sundays,
yes.
then Doug has not been as good on Sundays.
Well, the whole franchise has.
And that's real.
Yeah, well, then I've been as good the last 2 years. Dennis in Mount Laurel. What's up, Dennis?
Go, Gilio.
Dennis from Mount Laurel. How you doing, buddy?
Rick, how you doing today, son?
Super, Dennis.
Well, it's another Monday, so the camera must be off.
Yeah. We think he's probably golfing.
Monday and Friday, Joe.
Yeah.
Big golfer now,
short
I understand.
Short week guy.
Oh, he's a big golfer now.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I think he has. What do you think his handicap is? Do we think the camera's a good golfer? Yes or no?
I think he's an okay golfer. Okay.
No.
His handicap
like
is
a 15 or something like that would be my guess.
Oh no, he's no 15. He's got to be over 20 easy.
Well,
I could see. I could see Joe doing well with the putting game. I mean, he's good at the papa shot. Like I could see him mastering that little skill. I think the driving the ball might be the problem for Joe. All right, Dennis, breaking up a little bit there. We'll get back to Dennis. Let's talk to let's grab Justin in Tennessee. Justin, how you doing, buddy?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Justin.
Good. Hey, Joe, did you take me up on the fudge drop s'more deal I told you about before you went camping?
So, Justin, I actually did. I had a couple different kinds of s'mores on camping. I had the I bought some dark chocolate to put in my s'mores.
Wait, there's a different type of – ooh, dark chocolate's
yes,
a good idea.
But Justin, before I went camping, he suggested fudge stripe cookies, like you put them on because the chocolate's already involved in that, and make a s'more out of that. It was delicious,
Justin.
It's
a game changer.
Does that melt through?
Yeah. No,
wow.
It kind of makes the chocolate a little melty, but you got to watch the middle of it because that hole in the middle of the cookie.
Yeah.
The marshmallow might
seems unsturdy.
A bit, but I'm not crazy about graham crackers, so I love the fudge strap cookies anyway. But
that's a good idea.
I was wondering if you tried that.
Oh,
but
I
anyway.
Did. I bought a pack, and then I enjoyed it, Justin. Thank you for that suggestion.
Really good idea.
Yes, sir. Enough with the formalities. Joe, buddy, I love you, but you're wrong.
All right, tell me why. Go ahead.
Wrong. Because, I mean, in the past, yes, we have had good backups. We had Foles, who won a Super Bowl. We had Josh McCown, who's a longtime veteran. But with Nate Sudfeld, who has really shown us nothing in preseason games, and then a rookie who has had zero experience in training camp or anything like that, I would say this season you cannot do without Carson. You can't. Because, I mean, it's just – to me, it's a no-brainer in that fact, you know, that in the past we have had good veteran backups, but one backup you've got shown nothing, and the other's a rookie who's getting no time in the preseason, no games, hardly any practice time together with everybody, you know, it's going to be tough.
It's certainly a big factor, and it changes the equation. I do trust Doug a lot, though, Justin. I mean, if we didn't have Doug for a couple weeks during the season, I don't know who would call the plays. I mean, I think it's by default, Deuce would be the next up as the coach that day, but I don't even know who to call the plays.
You would think Marty
would
be a consideration.
Between Deuce and Marty, Yeah,
Marty. I mean, obviously, Marty has a lot of experience doing it. Justin, it's fair that the lack of playing time between spring and summer for Hurts will put him more behind than a usual second rounder.
Rich Scangarello was the offensive coordinator with the Broncos last year.
He wasn't a good offense.
But
he was a coordinator.
He was too conservative. My worry is Rich Scangarello, who was fired in part because he was too conservative last year, is now the guy who's coming in to collaborate with Doug and keep him from being too conservative.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Justin, you want to give us a fictional politician?
Yes, sir, I do. But before I do, y'all were talking about the camera's golf game.
Yes.
Of course, it can't be that good if you're hitting backward into the oncoming hole.
Yeah, that's true.
He told us about that ought to knock your handicap down 10, 15 points.
He golfed the wrong way.
He teed off the wrong way.
He teed off.
Like, literally teed off the backwards.
180 degrees wrong direction.
I've never heard of it in my life.
But anyway, I gave James one answer, but I'm not sure if anybody mentioned Merkin Muffley from Dr. Strangelove. I can never get his name right. Did anybody mention that one?
No, you're the first one on that. Old school one.
Okay. Yeah, old
school. Yeah, I'm going to take Dr. Strangelove. All right. You got
it. All right.
You got it, Justin.
Love you, boys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Justin.
It. So wait a second. So the camera actually shot the ball to behind him?
Wrong way.
Right.
Yep.
He teed off the entire hole. Should have been teeing off
hole.
North.
He found out like an hour later when he got back to the hole that he was originally supposed to play the right way.
So the course, I'm guessing, was pretty the opposite of crowded, right? Because otherwise you'd be hitting it at people trying to play.
Yeah.
Try to go the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that. But look, I'm not surprised by any of that. Let's talk to Joanne, who's in Philly. Hey, Joanne.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Joanne, first time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate
for calling.
That. How are you today? What's up?
I'm good. So, yeah, I heard the conversation starting earlier this morning about the Doug versus Carson. I'm not on Twitter, so I thought I'm going to call.
Good.
So, Joe, I heard you say early in the program that Doug P. he won a Super Bowl without Carson. And I was like, it made my head explode.
But he did. He did. He won the Super Bowl. Carson didn't play in that game.
If you just look at that single game, perhaps you're right. But Carson was at 11-2. I mean, it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Carson getting to 11-2 before he went down.
There's no question. Carson was great that year and helped set them up for home field advantage. But the point I was trying to make was, you know, we're discussing the hypothetical, and hopefully it doesn't become real, but it
sure,
certainly could. That
right.
You know, if they miss one of these guys for a couple weeks because they can't participate, I feel good about Doug coaching up the guys behind Carson for a few weeks, and they still win with their head coach, rather than Carson out there without his head coach. I just would have more faith in Doug to win without Carson because I know we can do it. We've seen it, Joanne.
Yeah, I do. But, you know, where we are right now with Carson, this is such a critical – I mean, every year is critical, right? But losing 2 weeks, especially right now, but any time, you don't want someone to go down. But Carson, with the last couple of years missing some time, this is such a key time for him to really establish or reestablish his leadership role. Not just with the offense, but with the team in general.
Yeah.
And it's such a critical time of year that I think the whole team needs Carson right now to be in that leadership role.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's important.
And how
here.
Many times in history has a team gone on and won the whole shebang without their starting quarterback? Very infrequent. I mean,
right?
It does not happen. It
doesn't happen often.
It was a miracle that Nick played the way that Nick played. Nick
I
was
call
the best
that a
quarterback.
Miracle. I mean, it was improbable.
Yes.
And, Richie, to your point earlier, I just think they have not done a good enough job developing him since 2017.
Yeah.
I think they've fallen short.
Yep. And it is on the coaching staff, but it's also on the injury. It's also – there are a lot of factors that go into that. But, yes, I agree. They needed to ride him a little harder and coach him a little tougher, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joanne, and that's fair. I mean, his career is it's gone back from what it was in 2017, and I'd say it's plateaued a little bit. He's good, but he's not playing at an elite level. Hopefully he gets back to that. Joanne, who is a great fictional politician?
So I didn't hear. Did anyone say Selina Meyer from Veep yet?
No.
No.
Great answer. That's a top
answer. Yeah.
Love that answer.
Good
love
one.
It, Joanne.
Cool.
We appreciate it. You're in the mix. Yes, Veep with of course, the
– What a wonderful call by Joanne.
That was great. I mean,
call more often, Joanne.
She laid the smack down on you a little bit, Joe.
Listen, you know what I liked about that? She told me I was wrong, but she didn't yell.
Yeah.
I like that. She was polite about it. Sometimes people get
what a wild thought.
Yes.
You get yelled at a lot?
Once in a while. I didn't say every day, but most days. All right, you know where we got to go right now? A guy that does get yelled at from time to time, but he always is important to bring on, especially when there's stuff going on at the Eagles. We're going to bring him on. Elliot Shore Parks, you're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia live from the Tasty Cake Studios. Elliot just hopped on a Zoom call with Doug Peterson, and we found out, of course, last night, is positive for COVID-19. But it does sound like, Elliot, that Doug is doing okay. Elliot, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's nice in the world with everything going on with COVID, with the hurricane, that I can still turn on WIP and listen to people yell at Joe Giglio about Carson Wentz. So it's good to have some things going normal.
There's some normalcy to our world. All right, Elliot,
yeah.
What's the latest? So we found out last night that Doug is positive and he's going to have to be away from the team for a while. What did he say today? What did you learn today about how Doug's doing?
Correct. So Doug is back at home. He zoomed from his home, and he said he feels good. He's high energy. He had some meetings, obviously virtual meetings, this morning with players. He's talking with Deuce Staley every morning and kind of letting him know what, you know, what needs to be done that day from the head coaching role. And he said he's excited to get back. At this point, he didn't say this, but to clear the protocol, either has to have two negative tests within 5 days or just wait 10 days from his initial positive. So I think he'll be back a little sooner than people expect. And having talked to Doug all offseason, he did not seem any different today than he has in the past.
Elliot, he just stated publicly he felt extremely safe in the NovaCare bubble. Did he speculate as to how he might have been exposed to COVID?
So he would not say that. My interpretation, and he didn't say this, just my read on it, is that he seems to feel he might have gotten it outside of the NovaCare, which I guess, you know, when you do consider he does feel safe in there, and he's not the only coach that said it. Jeff Stoutland said last week how safe he feels in there and said, you know, he feels safer in there than he does obviously outside of the NovaCare, just with everything going on. So, yeah, I think Doug seems to believe he got it out of the NovaCare, but the good news, I guess, is that they did find out that he was positive and they were able to get him out of there, you know, quickly as opposed to waiting and having him be in there longer.
How different is this for this next period, however many days it is? How different is it going to be for the team?
So today actually starts a new phase of the training camp ramp up. Last week they were tested over the weekend. They could come in the facility, do some light working out, and they were fitted for their equipment. Today they actually hit the field. Now it can only be a walkthrough. It can only be 60 minutes. And I believe it's restricted how many players can be out there at a time. And it's even restricted who can touch the football. The quarterback's allowed, the receiver's allowed,
wow,
and the special teams. But outside of that, no one else is allowed.
The receivers, meaning like a back can be a receiver, like anyone on the offense, like not an offensive lineman can be a receiver, right?
I would assume that's what they mean. I mean, the NFLPA specifies receiver. So, you know, I mean, obviously in today's NFL, like Zach Ertz is the Eagles' number one receiver. So I'm not sure about that. But what it more means is I don't believe they'll be running full 11-on-11 drills. It'll be a walkthrough. And not having Doug there is a, you know, pretty big deal. He's the head coach. He's basically the offensive coordinator. He's the most important person in the complex. So, you know, I do think he'll be back by the time they start running real training camp practices. But not having him there today and for the rest of the week probably is not ideal.
Elliot Shore Parks joining us here talking about, well, Doug Peterson's positive test for COVID-19. He's going to be away from the Eagles for a little bit. Sounds like he's doing well. Elliot, let's have you weigh in before we hit any more Eagles topics here on what we've been discussing today. Look, this is a reality now of pro sports in 2020, especially leagues like the NFL and Major League Baseball without a bubble, that people and players and coaches are going to have to miss time and maybe significant time. Mm-hmm. Who would you say is more indispensable to the Eagles? If I gave you a hypothetical this season, one of these two guys had to just basically be gone for 2 weeks because they couldn't be around the team. Is it Doug Peterson or Carson Wentz?
Yeah, so this is a discussion. I mean, you'd even take COVID out of it, right? If someone were to be gone. I think Doug is way more important to the Eagles than Carson is. We've seen it, right? When Doug has a competent quarterback in there, this team is fine. I mean, we've seen it when Carson plays at a high level. And we've seen when Nick goes in there. So
you're suggesting that he has a competent quarterback after Carson.
Correct. But I say, you know, I like Nate Sudfeld. Who knows? I agree with you. The fact that Nick's no longer here is a big deal. But when you look at when the Eagles have really been special, like it's mostly been over the last 2 years when Doug has kind of made it happen, whether it's getting him up for a big game. And, you know, we all see on Sunday his ability to make play calls that, frankly, I don't think other coaches could have helped him. So I think it would be way tougher. If you were to put Deuce Staley in there, who's never called plays, it'd be way more of a drop-off, in my opinion, if you were to put a Jalen Hurts or Nate Sudfeld in there from Carson.
That's a shame that you feel that way. Hey, I saw you wrote an article, Jeff Stoutland is not worried about Jason Peters moving to right guard.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Stoutland talked last week, and Doug has also talked about it. And the way they talk about Jason Peters making the move, it's not that they – completely say it's going to be easy, but they don't talk about it as if it is going to be a big deal. They
wow.
feel it'll be a relatively easy transition. Jeff Stoutland said that, you know, Jason Peters has even said he would play center and he used to snap the ball in practice a few years ago. So they really don't think it's going to be a problem whatsoever. They almost talk about the right guard position as if it's not even hard compared to left tackle. So wow. They feel very, very confident that he's going to go in there and not just play well, but I think they think he's going to be like at a high level starter.
Wow. That's incredible. What does Stoutland say the biggest adjustment's going to be?
Well, the fact that A, you're moving from the left to the right, which is one thing. Obviously, yeah. He's always played on the left side. Now he can be on the right. The other thing is you're just around people. I mean, you know, one of the reasons they think it'll be easier, but it is an adjustment, is when he was at left tackle, he was out there on an island. Jeff Stoutland said left tackle might be the hardest position in the offense. I mean, I would disagree with that, but that was his opinion. And now at right guard, he's just going to be around people more often. So I think that they believe that's going to be an adjustment.
So Devontae Freeman, the word was that he was considering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Shady McCoy. Mm-hmm. What's the deal? What's the likelihood Devontae Freeman ends up coming here?
Well, now that McCoy is in Tampa Bay, I think obviously it's higher because, A, there's a spot that's gone for Devontae, but also McCoy is off the market, who is another potential option for the Eagles. Devontae Freeman changed his agents. He now has Drew Rosenhaus, who I know people remember for the, you know, Terrell Owens fiasco. But Rosenhaus and the Eagles front office actually have a really good relationship. I believe Rosenhaus represents more players on the Eagles than anybody else other than perhaps Carson's agent. So they have a good relationship. You know, it makes sense. I think they have a need for Devontae. The issue is going to be the money, and I think that's what's been the issue all offseason. Now, the closer we get to week one, presumably that price tag drops because he has to sign somewhere eventually. So I think the chances are still somewhere around, you know, 35-40%, but, you know, I think they are going up from last week.
Elliot, last one for you. You wrote about Miles Sanders and kind of the breakout year you think he can have here for the Eagles. I mean, of all the guys on this team that are younger, let's say 25 or younger, the last couple drafts, I mean, he's the one that I do have the most hope for and excitement for, because if he's the player he was, let's say, last 6, 7, 8 games last year, I mean, the Eagles are suddenly going to have a really tremendous back that we haven't seen here in a long time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, ever since I've covered the Eagles, their plan at running back has basically been running back by committee, right? They trade a late-round pick for a guy, and they use a late-round pick on a running back, and they piece it together. Deuce Staley talked last week and said this year the plan's pretty simple. You just put Miles Sanders in and let him go. I think the running back by committee days are done here, and you hit the nail on the head. As good as Carson was at the end of last year, and he was phenomenal, I'm not taking anything away from him. His play kind of overshadowed the fact that Miles Sanders really came on at the end of the year and played a huge role in helping the Eagles make the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if they do make the playoffs if it isn't for some of the plays of Miles Sanders, especially against Washington. So if he gets the same type of production and the same kind of touches and snaps that he did at the end of last year, I think you could be looking at a guy that might top 1,800 total yards and be mentioned among the best running backs in the league. I think he has that type of talent if they do commit to him like I think they will.
Jeez. But part of the reason that they don't commit to a back is because it's not feasible to keep a guy healthy when you hand him the ball, you know, 25 times a game.
Well, so Deuce Staley talked about that last week and said, with a guy like Miles who can make people miss, they just don't get hit as much. He didn't say LeGarrette Blount, but if you think about a LeGarrette Blount type of player that gets, you know, is just basically running up the middle and taking all types of contact, maybe more of a Jordan Howard type of guy, those guys, you would be worried about giving them all the touches. Deuce feels that because of Miles' ability to make people miss and just avoid hits, which is something I used to say about Darren Sproles a lot too. I don't know if he's as shifty as Darren Sproles, but that type of ability to make people miss, they're more confident he can stay healthy.
Wow. I mean, he's not Shady McCoy. He's not Darren Sproles. It's not quite to that level of making guys miss in a phone booth.
But he does have sneaky agility.
He also got hurt week 17 last year, for what it's worth. I mean, at the end of you know, a long kind of stretch of carrying the ball, he did miss a good portion of that Giants game and was questionable for the Seahawks game.
You're right. No, it's important, and it's a good thing to point out. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. Have a good day. We'll chat soon, and we thank you for the info on Doug.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Elliot.
Elliot Shore Parks, Go Birds, podcast with James Seltzer, and of course, 94WIP.com. You can read Elliot there. I like Miles Sanders a lot, John. He won me over the end of last year. You know what he reminds me of? You're talking about him not being the most elusive guy. Yet when I watch him, I'm reminded of a young Le'Veon Bell. He never seems to take a gigantic hit.
Oh, man.
I am.
I'm not.
And he, you know what else he does? He can run away from defenders more than, like, his speed doesn't meet the eye. They've been watching the game against Washington last year, and he's just pulling away, and they can't catch him. I think he's a star. I think he's a star player.
All right. I do not believe I feel anywhere
feel,
close
John?
To as confident as you
star
do.
Star player.
No, I hope you're right. I hope you're righter than I am on this. I think Miles has shown us real potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is a lot more comfortable in the passing game than anyone expected. I think part of that is because Deuce is so brilliant as it pertains to pass protection, you know, blitz pickup, all that stuff. He coached him up well, and he's proven that now with Corey Clement and Miles Sanders. It's a big deal. Deuce has helped his cause. I think that he is good. I hope he looks better so that I could say he's great. He's nowhere close to that. You can't
well,
say
last
he's...
eight games he was great. I mean, he was great. He was among the top five or six backs in the league last year. The last eight games. Once he took that
I
job,
felt
he ran
like
with
that
it.
Was a product of necessity. There was no one else out there. I do think that a lot of those touches go elsewhere.
But where are
if
they
we
go
have
now?
Healthy receivers,
oh, you mean,
if we have you know the full host of tight end, you know usage, the packages. I think the wide receivers will take away from some of his utilization.
I think that's fair, but I just mean per touch. I mean he made a lot happen when he got the ball.
I think
in
he's
his
good. I think he's good. I think people are overblowing how good.
Well, you know, they need him. So I hope I'm right on this because they need him to be good. 215-592-9494. Let's grab who we got here. We got Sam in Glenside. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Doing well, Sam.
What's up, Sam?
All right. Hey, John, I'm going to try to see if I can convince Joe here that Carson Wentz is definitely more important.
Please
first,
do.
I'd just like to say it's nice to see a Flyers team come out prepared like the way they were compared to that mess the Sixers put on the court. But
that's for sure.
Amen, brother.
At any rate, you know, who puts the game plan together the week before prior to a game?
Doug.
Okay, and other coaches, and does Carson have anything to do with that?
I'm sure he does. Yeah, he's a quarterback that's been here for 5 years now. Yeah, I'm sure he has some input.
All right, I think Carson's a very intelligent quarterback, so he has to go out there and he has to execute the game plan. He's got to make you know, everything work out there on the field. And I actually think Carson's an intelligent enough quarterback that he could go out there and actually, like the days of old, call his own game plan when they used to call their own plays rather than the coaches calling them for him.
You know, I don't doubt his intelligence, Sam. I don't think any quarterback playing today could do that. I just think they're not in the rhythm of doing it. Like,
there are quarterbacks who do that. I mean, especially in a 2-minute scenario.
Well, but for a full game, I don't think.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but Peyton Manning is a savant from a different era. Like, I just don't think anyone is on the wavelength.
I think Mahomes could do that.
At this stage of his career.
Yeah.
But I think there is. I think there's something to a rhythm of play calling that a quarterback just wouldn't understand. Could he call good plays? Absolutely. Does he know the playbook backward and forward? Yes. But like, there's a rhythm. You set the defense up for a screen 5 plays later. You set the defense up for a screen 2 possessions later by something you do now. I don't think current quarterbacks could do it.
I think Carson is very smart, though. To your point, Sam, I think he's really sharp and up on all of the X's and O's. No question.
Yeah, I mean, they're given that this is what they're used to, being plays sent into them, plays being called.
Right.
But I firmly believe he's intelligent enough that he had to sit down with the assistance of the other coaches. He could put a game plan together himself and call it. Because you've seen, like John mentioned, you've seen a big difference in the last few years compared to when Frank Reich and DeFilippo were there. You see him. I mean, not that Doug hasn't had his flashes, but I just think – at this point, it's more important to have Carson there than Doug.
Sam, give us a great fictional politician.
It would have to be Robin Williams as, was it Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, Night at the Museum.
A comedic one. Sam, I like that. Robin Williams, we appreciate the phone call, Night at the Museum. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We have a $25 gift card to Spontino Woodfire Neapolitan Pizza. Doug or Carson, who is more indispensable? We're going to see where the voting lies on this coming up on the other side. And tonight, the Phillies don't just have a good opponent to go up against. They have to go up against a guy that's been compared to Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods and LeBron James. We'll let you hear maybe the most ridiculous comparison I've heard in some time coming up on the other side right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And sports are finally back, and I've been taking in all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. You know what I can't wait for? A night like tonight, we have all of these sports going at once. We have hockey, we have basketball, and of course we have close to a full slate of our national pastime. And FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app, and here's why. The app is super easy to use. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or new to wagering, you'll find what you're looking for in just a few taps. And once you win, FanDuel pays you out in as little as 24 hours. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook will let you place your first bet risk-free. Just place any bet you want and get up to $500 back if you don't win. Type in FanDuel.com/Giglio to get started. So I know I'm saying that's FanDuel.com/Giglio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.